Government Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, geology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Insight Hour on BBSRadio.com. In case you haven't noticed, no, I am not Dr. Len Horowitz. I am Don Nikoloff. I am actually the host of Evident Footprints, and I guess they get so used to hearing that music for my Evident Footprints show, which comes on Tuesday nights right after Dr. Horowitz. We decided to just roll with the music and bring me on board. I'll be with you for the next roughly 47, 48 minutes. We got a little bit of a late start. I had a guest booked. I'm guest hosting tonight for Dr. Horowitz, who cannot be here. I had a guest booked, and we have had some technical problems getting him on board with us. Maybe he will pick up his phone when we call. In the meantime, got some things that I want to cover. Of course, Dr. Horowitz himself is in the news, and he was on a radio show today. He has an engagement, speaking engagement, that is actually synchronized with tonight's broadcast. So in order to not play a repeated show or an archive, he asked if I would fill in. So I was happy and honored to do so. And before we go any further, I'd like to take a moment and just give thanks to our Lord, Jesus Christ, and Father God. Father, thank you for allowing me this opportunity tonight to speak on behalf of Dr. Len Horowitz, a man of God, a man who has devoted his life to educating many people around the world to much of the evil and darkness that exists. Of course, Father, we know that you see this as well, and you pray that we wake up, as many of us are doing, that the masses wake up and respond and hear your voice and do the right thing, and once again focus our faith and our trust and open our hearts on you, your magnificence, and your word. The world is going through just terrible, terrible, tumultuous events right now, orchestrated by the dark side. And we trust that, as you so eloquently say in your word, that we shall overcome. We trust that that will be the case, and that we will continue to not just trust, but take action by evoking spiritual principles, by evoking your word in the things that we do, manifesting goodness, manifesting trust and faith and love, not just in you, not just in your son, the Lord Jesus, but also in each other, putting faith and love and trust into our fellow men, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have many of our sons and daughters are overseas fighting wars that need not be fought under the pretext of terrorism, just so the rich can get a little bit richer. We know that these things are abominations to you, and so many people are blindly supporting these treacherous deeds that are being committed, the murder and the poisoning of our ecosystems and our food, and whether it be nuclear or chemical or biological warfare. We trust that your angels will come here and not just protect us, but do away with this evil once and for all. We also pray that you cause the earth to reclaim her original glory as when she was first created. You spoke one word, and the waters began to cover the planet, the rains filled the skies, and your wisdom and your creation came to life. We have not honored the life that you have created here, and so we pray that those that have not repented for the sins that they have committed and the sins that they have yet to commit would do so now, and that you would heal us. You would heal all of us. You would heal our minds, our bodies, our hearts, and even our spirit, that we could begin to see the truth and the light and the love which is here called heaven. One day we all hope to reach heaven, and we pray that you will strengthen us, strengthen our resolve and our commitment to getting there. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Now, there are many things going on, and I mentioned at the top of the show that Dr. Horowitz was on a radio show. In fact, I need to step back a little bit. Dr. Horowitz recently was invited to appear at a CNN station, to go on CNN to tape an interview talking about some of the diseases that have been manufactured by the military-industrial complex, diseases that are being intentionally spread around the world. Many researchers, not just myself, but many well-known researchers in medicine have known for a number of years that the AIDS virus, or what they call HIV in its onset, and which develops ultimately into AIDS, was created and implemented or administered to people in various parts of the world, particularly in Africa, by the World Health Organization as far back as 1972. This was in vaccines that were given to people to fight certain diseases that were prevalent at the time, but little did anyone know that they were actually going to get a much worse disease, a deadly disease, a disease that was designed to wipe mankind off the planet, or at least anyone that came into contact with this disease. And we have many other diseases that have sprung up. We have the various flus. We have SARS, which was targeted for the Chinese genes. It's a very race-specific disease that was created. AIDS is somewhat of a different type of case. But then again, we have the H5N1 bird flu virus that they threaten us with. And of course, this is the typical fear-mongering to increase profits for the pharmaceutical companies. You have to get this virus or you're going to get this deadly flu. They create this type of fear. And people not being educated, hearing this on the television, which is the primary mind control tool next to the movies, the level of ignorance on the part of the general public is really no excuse, because there are people who are sounding the alarms or blasting the trumpet, if you would, to let us know that these diseases have been created intentionally for the purpose of wiping us off the planet. Dr. Horowitz was going to be interviewed by CNN, and at the last minute they backed out of the interview. They were most likely going to try to mock him or try to discredit him, as they usually do. This is a serious issue. The truth is still coming out with many of these diseases, and it may just be a coincidence, or maybe not, that Dr. Horowitz recently has been promoting OxySilver as a solution for all types of diseases, and particularly those of the infectious type. So the interest that we had in hearing what Dr. Horowitz would have said and how this might have been taken by the mainstream media was quelled when they canceled this show. Dr. Horowitz was obviously very upset about that, and he got booked on the Power Hour this morning, 6 a.m., in fact, Pacific time, 9 a.m. Eastern time, and he was on the show for about an hour, maybe a little over an hour, hour and 20 minutes, I think it was. And he was basically describing this great, terrible injustice that has been done in an attempt, again, to get the truth out. The powers that be are just going to play their games. If I wasn't concerned about the amount of broken glass, I would have taken a sledgehammer to my TV set and just ended it right there. I have absolutely no respect for the mainstream media, and I'm just going to refuse to watch at all, even to hear the pabulum that they're preaching, the mind control. I know it's all based on mind control. There's nothing beneficial about watching television whatsoever, particularly when not only do they not report the truth, they don't cover it at all. In fact, they do the opposite, and they lie. And they think because you are brainwashed into accepting what they say as the truth, they think you'll automatically believe it. Now, not that I want to go off on a tangent, but those of you who haven't heard my Evident Footprint show, and Dr. Horowitz sure knows how I feel about this issue, the three characters running for the presidency right now we call the Three Stooges. We have Barack Obama now claiming that he's related to Brad Pitt, and he's related through some royal African bloodline to George W. Bush. It's absolute insanity. Absolute insanity. Now, it has nothing to do with the color of one's skin. I think it has more to do with being reptilian than anything. If there is a relationship, it's because he's a reptilian. Pure and simple. And I think if Dr. Horowitz was on the show right now, he'd be patting me on the back for saying it. I don't know what else to say other than that. How can Hillary Clinton be related to Brad Pitt? She would have to be related to Barack Obama as well. Is it through some African bloodline that Hillary Clinton is related to Bush and to Barack Obama? I mean, this is absolute insanity. However, that makes her claims that she's related to Celine Dion and Madonna also make Dick Cheney, who is supposedly related to Barack Obama, a relation to Madonna and Celine Dion, and it's just crazy. I mean, you can't even match this. This is not even phony genealogy. This is pure Disneyland fiction. That's about all it is Disneyland. Forget about Alice in Wonderland and the Looking Glass. These people have lost it totally. But while this is going on, there are people setting websites up, putting this information out on the web, as well as all the misnomers for these diseases. It's funny, Magic Johnson came down with HIV, and many of the professional basketball players a number of years ago said that they wouldn't play with him, but he could afford the treatment. Now, what is he getting treated with? I don't particularly know, although I came to understand very recently. In fact, I found out some information today. Of all days, I found out some information as to how the AIDS virus works and what the actual cause of the AIDS virus is, how it attacks our immune system, and there is hopefully oxysilver is going to be something that will produce positive results, as well as another natural product that exists that uses a secretion or an excretion of mold that attaches itself to this type of produce. It's a produce from a certain country, and when let's say extracted with hydrazine sulfate, it breaks down the protein wall that inhibits the ability of our immune system to attack the AIDS virus. In other words, the T cells, or what are known as the T4 cells, actually cannot penetrate the protein wall of the AIDS virus. It's an alien virus, and it has been created for the purpose of killing you. If your immune system breaks down totally, you have no way to fight this disease. It just multiplies and multiplies. And if you've seen anyone who is dying from AIDS, suffering is bad enough, but to see someone dying from AIDS is really a horrific experience. And imagine what it would be for them to go through it. It is beyond description. And it's poo-pooed now by the media. It was out there for a long time. It made us fearful. It made us worried. And then they got people to start using drugs again. And they got you more concerned about whether or not you could get it up for your partner. And as a result, people are now focusing on procreative type drugs or drugs for penis enlargement, if you will. Now, it sounds or it seems like we may have Ken Adachi on the line. Ken, are you with us? Oh, that's okay. Well, you know, the show must go on, so it's going on. I'm glad we were able to connect with you.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know if you heard me. I was sort of recapping Dr. Len Horowitz's. By the way, this is his show tonight. So
yes.
I was recapping his experience with CNN, and they're canceling his interview on the AIDS issue. And he was on the Power Hour today with Joyce Riley and Dave Von Kleist.
Yes.
Giving a lot of wonderful information, very revealing information about how this was created. Now, I don't know how much you have studied the AIDS virus. I do know that D.M. Bonner was credited with the creation of the AIDS virus, and I believe it was done through one of the military labs. He was a physician in the U.S. Navy. And as far as I know, now he is retired, but still alive. And I came across some information just today about the specificity of some potential cures. But I had also asked you to come on. There has been quite a ramping up of the chemtrail spraying around the country and really around the world. And you on my Evident Footprint show have talked about that somewhat. I wanted to allow the audience to hear a little bit about what we have been experiencing in different parts of the country. I know you get lots of email from your website or to your website, educate-yourself.org. Which is one of the best research sites in the world. And a lot of people are sending you pictures and telling you about things that we're finding. Now, we should probably include the Morgellons disease along with this, since we're talking about AIDS and Ebola and all of these lab-created diseases that they're wreaking on mankind. Any comments?
Well, yes. Now, I'm sure Len Horowitz's audience is more than familiar with chemtrails. Len published a book maybe as long as 5 years ago, 4 to 5 years ago, which exclusively discussed the subject of chemtrails. I think it was t- title of his Death in the Air. And so he's no rookie when it comes to the subject of chemtrails. Now, we know that in general, chemtrails have been sprayed daily for about 10 years now. They were doing some earlier spraying operations, probably as early as even the late 60s, but those earlier phases apparently were just trial runs. But it seemed that it was the winter of 97-98 in which the operation went into its full phase, and they started to spray what I initially thought was most of North America, but then I quickly found out that it included much of Europe. And as time went by, I found that other countries in Asia, et cetera, are also being sprayed. So we know it's generally a worldwide program, and it's not that every country in the world is being sprayed with chemtrails. Some are not, and some very lightly or sparingly. So we know it's a very obviously large operation, but here in North America, and I suppose in Europe as well, it's daily, and it's heavy, and there are periods, there are weeks and months in certain years in which it seems to be more intensive, and then it seems to back off somewhat, and then we get it again. Now, we've seen many developments in understanding or finding out what is in the chemtrail soup. We know that there are fine particles of metal, oxides of barium, aluminum are well known. There have been samples taken in which desiccated red blood cells, as well as a number of pathogens, some known pathogens, other pathogens unknown, mixed in among chemtrail fallout. There's been fibers associated with chemtrails fallout, different sizes of fibers. Now, you mentioned Morgellons. It appears that Morgellons is a result of, first, material that's being deposited from chemtrail sprays seems to be, quote, the source of this. They're calling it a disease. However, it hasn't been distributed throughout the entire country evenly. It appears that Morgellons was distributed much more in the South, Texas particularly, and certain states in the South seem to have far more cases of Morgellons than what we're getting in northern areas, or perhaps even coastal areas. And some people have found that that they believe there's a connection between nanotechnology and Morgellons. Apparently, very extremely small manufactured devices, nanobots they're called, have been dropped with chemtrails. And the people who are getting this material into their body apparently are being victimized by Morgellons. Now, we can spend the rest of the show just talking about the symptoms and ways to possibly prevent some of the symptoms of chemtrails, but I think our focus is going to be more on things that we've found in the last few years that seem to be helping neutralize chemtrails. And we found out, perhaps around 2002 or so, that a simple device, which Don Croft, I have to give credit for, stumbled upon, which I later coined as a chembuster. It seems to have a serious effect on the orgone energy polarity that tends to hold chemtrails together, keeps them in a, you know, in a coalesced state. Now, we found that, or it appears, that the same orgone energy polarity, which has the name, the acronym of DOOR, is also responsible for holding smog together. And Wilhelm Reich discovered in the 30s and 40s that there's two polarities to this energy, and this simple device, which you call an orgone generator, apparently could change the negative polarity of this energy to the positive polarity, and in doing so, it tended to disperse the chemtrails. So that's the first thing we discovered more like late 2001, early 2002, that these simple devices, which you can read about on the internet, you can just put a search under ChemBuster. You'll come up with plenty of articles. There's lots of articles on my website. I have a page devoted to those devices. Now, an additional event made itself known in 2004, in the spring of 2004, after using ChemBusters for a couple of years. It came to my attention that these large air elementals, which the ancient Greeks identified as sylphs, began to show up in our skies, in our chemtrail-laden skies, in much larger number. And it appeared that sylphs were having the effect of neutralizing, of dissolving these chemtrails. They seemed to literally take in the toxins. These elementals can be very large creatures. They can be as wide as miles wide. And they apparently have been able to transmute the more toxic elements of the chemtrail into a less toxic element. And the residue that they discharge, let's say, after cleaning the chemtrail, forms into smallish groups of cloudlets, which sort of has a pebbly appearance when seen from the ground. And in time, they coalesce into larger groups of clouds that look more like conventional cumulus clouds. And last week, you and I had an hour's conversation about this over the radio. We were talking about some photos that I had taken in late April. I'm trying to remember the day now. It might have been around April 25, perhaps. I think that was the day. And that was a day here in Southern California. I live near Costa Mesa. And we had chemtrails spraying that started fairly early in the morning. I was out there at 9 o'clock. I saw chemtrails, but I also saw transmuted clouds early in that period, and I saw sylphs. So I knew the sylphs and the chemtrails had probably been there for a while, even before I got outside to take pictures. I took pictures that entire day, in the morning. I took it early afternoon, mid-afternoon, late afternoon, and early evening. And that was a spectacular day because so many sylphs came in, and they had done such an excellent job, an incredible job of cleaning these chemtrails, vacuuming, neutralizing them, that the evening sky was around 6:37 in the evening, had a number of large, puffy cumulus clouds, which had gathered as a result of so many transmuted clouds, which had coalesced together. And the sky was filled with a variety of very large sylphs. And I took both still pictures with my digital camera, and I took some videos of a very large sylph that was literally centered over my house. And I took a video of it because I couldn't even get the whole thing in a single shot. And it was only later that evening I had uploaded that video to my computer, and I started to look at it, and I noticed some startling shapes within that cloud that clearly told me there were many manifestations of life forms in that cloud. So I told you about it. We talked on the phone after the show. I sent you the copy of the video and some of the stills I was capturing and drawing out the images in much greater detail by using filters and increasing the contrast, etc., in a program known as Photoshop. I sent those, some of those stills to you, and you in turn put a story up the next day up on your website, and you included some of those pictures. So the story we want to emphasize tonight with the time we have is that we can do something about chemtrails. We can affect the atmosphere, and we can affect the impact of chemtrails by, A, perhaps looking into orgone generators and chembusters, because they seem to help not only break up the glue that holds chemtrails together, but they tend to attract these large elemental beings into your area. They sort of act like a beacon and attract an attractor. And
yeah,
once they're in their area, they will start working on reducing your chemtrails. Now, I've gotten pictures from other parts of the world of other people who've experienced and seen the same thing I just described to you. And in some cases, some folks have simply, with their minds and with their intentions and with their heart, have put out a request to SILS to assist them. And in many instances, SILS have suddenly appeared in the sky. And I think you have a little story that you could tell us, which just happened to you a day or so ago.
Yes, I wanted to share that with you and with the listening audience. And trust, folks, this is not exaggeration. This is real. We are, over the Midwest, we are sprayed nonstop. There is barely a day that goes by that we do not see chemtrails, and I mean lots of them. We have airports I'm in Ohio. We have airports all over Ohio, and it really doesn't matter if it's from a military base or a smaller airport or even the main airports. The trails seem to be emanating, for instance, out of Cleveland Hopkins Airport and what appears to be Burke Lakefront Airport, which is closer to the downtown Cleveland area, and near where all the sport venues are and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Great Lakes Science Center, and, of course, Lake Erie. And they spray incessantly over this area, putting X's in the skies. You see parallel lines, sometimes 10 across, as if they were 10 lanes of a highway high up in the air at 20 to 30,000 feet. Usually not too much higher. Occasionally they'll go up as high as 40 or 50,000 feet. These are not to be confused with contrails, which are vapor plumes that usually are emitted and appear where the air is very cold at high altitudes. We're talking about something that not only stays in the air, spreads over time, but eventually becomes a solid blanket, sometimes covering the whole country at the same time. And we've seen satellite photos of just that phenomena. So this is not an exaggeration. And if you have wondered what they're spraying, listen to us, because we know about what we speak. Now, considering the fact that pretty much for the past 3 to 4 months and throughout the winter, we barely got to see the skies at all. All we had was constant cloud cover. And if there was ever a break in the weather or in the cloud cover, we were again assaulted with these chemtrails. I've been on an airplane and seen them above this massive cloud cover. So they're, even when we have clouds, they're up there still spraying. And the problem is, unless you're in an airplane flying to another city across the country, you cannot see this going on through the cloud cover. But some of us sense that it's going on, and rightfully so. Now, Saturday, miraculously, for some reason, we had blue skies. It didn't rain. It wasn't overcast. And so I was outside mowing the lawn and sort of cleaning up, doing the spring spring cleaning of the yard, so to speak, raking up leaves from around the bushes, and it was pretty blue, although it wasn't the deep blue that I recall seeing years ago, and especially growing up. The sky used to be much bluer than it is now. It's as though our planet is dying, and our atmosphere is very ill, and so the phenomenon that we see in the sky has changed quite a bit. Well, I'm enjoying the first sunny day in a long time. I'm getting some work done, and lo and behold, a whole battalion of jets starts flying over the area, spraying. And I counted in one specific area to the south of me, 8 planes, and they were rapidly spraying these trails and just disappearing out of sight. I have the ability as a cloud buster to look at clouds or these chemtrails and just will them away with my mind. It's a psychic gift from God, and I discovered this many years ago that I could do this, and of course with the chemtrails it's come in handy. But I was working, I had things to do, and didn't want to spend my time looking up at the skies. So I made 3 or 4 of these chemtrails disappear right while the jets were spraying. In other words, they sprayed them in the sky, and within a matter of seconds, I had them disappearing. Now, I wasn't going to stand there doing this because I wouldn't have gotten much work accomplished in the yard. So I took Ken's suggestion and called the sylphs and just turned away and went about my work. Within 10 minutes, I looked up at the sky, and all of the chemtrails were gone. All of them. The sky was returned back to blue. Several hours went by, and again they came to spray the skies. They had realized that the chemtrails disappeared, but they couldn't account for how it had been done. Again, I issued the same call to the sylphs. They came, and I and the sylphs worked on the clouds for 10 to 15 minutes, and again they disappeared. Now, we've had 3 sunny days ever since. Tomorrow we're due for massive rain, so evidently there's a system moving from the west coming this way. But I'm even going to try to work on the rain as it goes. It's a true story, and I can vouch for what Ken is saying. I've seen the pictures. I've seen many, many of the sylphs in the photos. In fact, they're on my website, directlightproductions.com. You can click on chemtrails, and you can see what I've written about Ken's account, and as well as the posting of the photos right there on the webpage. It's very simple to see, and this is something that we can all do. Those of us with spiritual minds and somewhat even scientific minds, if we can work from our heart center and use your intelligence in a creative way, is what I'm saying. You can, if it makes you as angry as it does me and Ken and anyone else that knows what's going on, especially those who've gotten sick, you will see this is a very effective solution. So that is the story, the background and the results. Are you still there, Ken?
Yes, I'm here. So,
okay.
What I'll say too is that I'm just going to presume that Len Horowitz's audience is probably, I'm guessing, probably, perhaps have not heard of the role of sylphs in transmuting chemtrails. And since personally I come from a background which is more science orientated, I have been more of a less brain-sighted guy most of my life. I understand there are a lot of people who have a more scientific bent to mind who probably find it hard to believe what we just spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand that, but if you want to realize that there are many things in the world which we are not aware of and we don't understand, and it's unwise to dismiss something out of hand, simply because, A, you haven't been told about it, you haven't read about it, or you haven't heard about it from some previous source, like school. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. In this case, because of the seriousness of the chemtrail operation, what's the purpose of chemtrail? Well, it's has multiple purposes, but its larger purposes is genocidal in nature. Now that's a term that Len Horowitz does not shrink from. He understands, as does anyone who looks at this carefully, that we're living in a time in which the controlling elites are trying to, through various means, to bring about a very gross depopulation agenda. And they're looking to try to eliminate about 85% of the present world's, 85-90% of the present world's population. They're shooting for a target number of about 500 million. And based on what I've read, I don't have inside information, but I've read it from more than one source, that the Illuminati had targeted the year of perhaps 2050 as being the time in which they expected that the Earth's population might be reduced down to about 500 million. Now, we can do something about these plans if we open our mind and become a little bit more willing to accept that there's more forces in the world than we can necessarily see with our eyes. And one of those groups of unseen forces are what are known as elemental beings. Now, the ancient Greeks had no problem recognizing them. Paracelsus wrote about the different types of elemental beings that exist to help do the work of nature in the sky. They are called sylphs in the ocean. Elemental beings who help regulate ocean life are called undines. If they're in the forest and you happen to have lived in Ireland, they call them leprechauns and the little people. And there's already been a number of books that have been published about humans interacting with these forest, these beings who, elementals who work in the forest. So sylphs are really nothing new to mankind. We've always had them here as long as man's been on Earth. But normally we don't see them. However, they are there. They leave a signature on infrared film. And in the late 50s and early 60s, Trevor James Constable took a number of photos of sylphs using infrared film. And after they developed and they saw these huge aerial creatures in their film, in the sky, of course, they measured miles across. They generally had an amoeboid shape, but he could not see them with the naked eye. But him and another fellow named Dr. Bob Woods would go out to the California desert. They'd get out there while it was still dark, and by the time the sun broke in the morning, Trevor learned a specific exercise from a metaphysician, which would apparently, their goal was to photograph UFOs. So Trevor would make a particular movement, which was called the star exercise, and somehow this created a stirring, a vortex-type stirring of the ether, which would attract UFOs. Now, of course, the UFOs could not be seen with the eye either, but they could capture them on infrared film. So while Trevor was doing this exercise, Bob Woods was taking photos behind him of the California desert and the sky. And what showed up, besides UFOs, what also showed up were these huge sylphs. Trevor published a book, I think it was in 1958, which was called They Live in the Sky. I think that was the title of his book, in which he published photos of these huge creatures. Now, he later published another book called The Cosmic Pulse of Life, in which he published, again, 7 or 8 or 10 shots of these critters, which we had photographed. Well, I have since talked to him about those critters and about sylphs, and he agrees that what we're presently seeing in manifesting, physically manifesting in our eyes as a very symmetrical, balanced cloud form, we're calling them sylphs, are the same thing he was calling critters in the late 50s, these air elementals. They very often take an unusual shape. If you can see what they look like, if you go to my website and click on the link at the top of the page of any one of my pages, I have a number of links at the very top, and near the top row you'll see the words chemtrails, and right next to it another link that says sylphs. And if you click those on, besides finding many articles on sylphs, in among those articles you'll see many photographs of sylphs. And if you study the photos long enough, you'll be able to quickly recognize a sylph from an ordinary cloud or from a chemtrail-type cloud. I don't call a chemtrail a cloud per se, because it's not. It's an aerosol spraying, but for the sake of convention, a lot of people think they're just clouds. So so if you study the sylph photos, you can get to recognize sylphs. And some sylphs are very dramatic looking. Some sylphs look almost precisely like a flying Japanese dragon. Some sylphs look like flying angels. Some sylphs look like animals, like wolves or sharks. Or in one case, Fred Gunn got the most amusing picture in the world. He asked a sylph. Fred has something of advanced psychic ability as well. He was outside with a camera. This is going back last summer. He asked the sylph to show him a form, and the sylph almost immediately turned into a cloud form of a flying duck. And if you search down my pages and look for Fred Gunn's flying duck, you'll see the most unbelievable photo of what looks like a flying duck. I took a photo back in 2004, I believe, of what looks like a flying Japanese crane. So if you study the pictures, after a while, you'll quickly be able to recognize a sylph from an ordinary cloud.
Okay, Ken, we're out of time. We got a late start, and
yes,
I have another show scheduled, Evidence Footprint,
right,
in a couple of moments. I want to thank you for coming on such short notice, and encourage the listeners to go to your website, educate-yourself.org, and check out all that wonderful information you have posted there.
Thanks.
In addition, I want to point out that, as a reminder, those of you who have not signed up for the Love Code Seminar in Portland, Oregon, on May the 24th, 2008, you're encouraged to go to healthyworldstore.com, or you can call directly. The toll-free number is 1-888-508-4787. That's 1-888-508-4787. And you can make a reservation right there, as well as check out the Healthy World products. There are many, many fine products there. Of course, the OxySilver Immune Support Hydrosol Concentrate is there, as well as the OxyLift Bioenergy Facelift. And we've even got music. Now, some of you may or may not know, I've been asked to be the Vice President of Production for Tetrahedron Records. So I am also going to become part of these Love Code seminars, as well as the production of the music for Tetrahedron Records. And there is another event on the 17th of this month. That's May 17th in Toronto, Canada. Again, for the information, you can go to www.healthyworldstore.com, or you could go to Dr. Len's other website, where he has the Love Code seminar. In fact, you could actually Google the Love Code Seminar, and it'll take you right there. Again, the same phone number applies to reserving a place at both of these events, either on May 17th in Toronto, Canada, or on May 24th in Portland, Oregon. And the Portland, Oregon event is actually going to be somewhat special in that Jeff Rentz is going to receive an award for the fine work he is doing and bringing to people all over the world the truth. And so that is going to be an exciting event. There will be music. The event in Toronto, Dr. Horowitz told me, is going to be somewhat of a jam session. And also the event in Portland, Scott Huckabee will be playing music using the Love Code. I've heard his guitar playing. It's very innovative, very interesting, very uplifting. And it's all about what music is, and that's ultimately love. So I want to thank Ken Adachi for helping me get through this hour. And you can hear Ken on some archives at my website, directlightproductions.com, and at bbsradio.com. In fact, if you subscribe to the archives at BBS Radio, you will make Don Newsom and Seth Hendrick very happy, because they work hard to get those posted for you. And a very nominal subscription permits you to download all of the archives on the network for one whole year or longer if you want to subscribe for longer. So with that, I want to thank Ken Adachi again for being on the Insight Hour. I want to give a shout out to Reverend Roxy Hampton, as well as to Dr. Len Horowitz, and join me in a couple of moments for my show, Evident Footprints. My special guest will be Thomas James of hempusa.org. In the meantime, peace, love, and light, and we'll see you. Bye now.